This is the Valley Outdoors, and glad to have you guys with us. I am not kidding. This is going to be one of the best shows ever. We're going to be talking a little bit about a past trip that we took, the Fish With Us, I think we called it.
Yep,
and, Fish With Us. Fish With Us. Don, in fact, is coming back from the hinterlands. He's with us. Ava's with us. And Kirk, me, I'm here. We're going to have a fun time. And trust me, you do not want to miss this show. Hang tight. More Valley Outdoors coming right up. Eric Olson here, professional walleye tour champion, avid outdoorsman, and host of the Valley Outdoors radio show. Aquatic invasive species, or AIS, threatens not only our rivers and lakes here, but everywhere we boat. They come in many forms, and they love to hitch a ride to the next body of water on your boat or trailer. Join me to stop the spread of AIS by cleaning all weeds and aquatic material from your trailer before leaving the launch ramp. Drain live wells and clean areas that don't drain completely. Plus, don't forget to pull the plug. Clean, drain, dry. Together, we can make a difference. Good to hear everybody is here. It's good to see everybody's here.
Yeah, it's good to be back.
Those of you listening can't see that, but you have to hear that. So, Don?
You know, it's one of the things I always wanted to be able to do was to go on a lengthy fishing trip, which I just completed, and enjoyed every minute of it.
Nice. Well, we'll just talk a little bit about that later in the show.
I'm sure we will.
Little tease on that. We had a lot of fun, and I think everybody enjoyed it.
Yeah, I can tell you. In fact, well, when we get into it, we actually got some. I should have brought it. I got some thank you cards.
Oh, very nice.
Which from some of our guests that we took along with us.
Cool.
Yeah, I think it'd be fun at some point maybe to have one of those maybe visit with us, and they can tell us what kind,
I think
of,
so.
What kind
I think,
of trip they had.
Well, and I think if they're talking nice about us, then we might try to do another trip.
Well, and I'm guessing they're going to register for it too.
You think?
I think they will.
I think that's definitely a possibility. You know, Don, since we've been up there, lots of changes in weather, and not that I like to talk about weather all the time, but when you talk transitions, there's a lot of things that happen. I mean, last 2 weeks ago, it was, 88 degrees, and a week and a half, 2 weeks ago. So really what ends up happening, you've got such a transition that's happened quick, and I was hoping the water temperature would drop. You wake up in the mornings, I was out at the club, there's a workout place right on the river, and you can see, and every morning you go and it's just steam coming up, and it's cooling down pretty quick, which is great. I love that.
Mm-hmm.
The fish start to go on the feed. You start to get some movement, even though we don't have a lot of water flow right now. Really changes, but the fun part is it starts to activate fish. They start to sense that, oh, guess what, as well as moon phase and sun, you know, the drop in sunlight. So a lot of changes coming up. So you have to realize that if you were catching fish in those scenarios, things are going to change. You need to make sure that you change with them. Don't be afraid to be active. Really make those milk run spots help you and be more successful. A prime example coming up, the Masters Walleye Circuit is going to be coming up. I think it's next week, and they're going to be hard-pressed to be looking for fish, and it's going to be milk run. Stop here, check it, fish it, use your electronics, mark it. Story coming up shows just what electronics can do, but utilizing those pieces and parts so you're not fishing unproductive water, you can target fish. Hey, there's fish here. Let's fish it and see what we can come up with. So really focusing on that and developing a milk run so you can find some fish, especially in transition. And once those fish really turn the feed bag on, then it's game on. So you get later in the, to the middle of October timeframe. So a lot of cool stuff that can go into that. But big thing, don't be afraid to adapt, change, and really be open to movement. Because the old saying goes, Don, I think you heard me say it, doesn't take long to stay a while. Next thing you know, you're an hour and a half into a spot and you've got maybe a nibble and that was it, but you get sucked in. So don't get sucked in. Give that 15-minute a spot. Set your times.
We call that run and gun.
And run and gun, which you did up at the Cabotogama to find those fish. So thought it was a cool story. Just recently, last couple of days, we were at a distributor, electronics boat marine distributor show that was not too far from here, and looking at all the new electronics that are coming out and some of the neat stuff that the companies have developed. I saw the new Mega Live in action, which is pretty cool. and a lot of neat little things. But I was surprised. I had a gentleman come in today, one of the stores, and he was a fireman in a local fire department, and he said they were looking at getting a different boat, but they use electronic sight imaging a lot, and we talked a lot about that. And the story follows it, and it's out of North Carolina. A fisherman finds a stolen BMW in a lake. North Carolina fisherman spotted something very odd and large on his sonar. He was cruising along at Lake Wylie outside Charlotte last month. He reported it to the police. Further investigation by the York County Sheriff's Office determined the car was sitting 20 feet down and about 50 feet from the shoreline in this particular section of the lake. This particular date, just last week, the department's dive team assisted in a multi-department operation recovering the vehicle, which turned out to be a BMW 5 Series. It was reported stolen 2017 from Charlotte, North Carolina.
It's a terrible place to park it.
I know.
What a shame.
You don't have to worry about anybody dinging your doors.
No.
Nope, not a problem. Giant float bags were used to bring the sedan to the surface, and they towed it to the boat ramp. And it's not unusual for the fishermen to find such elements, but not quite that far out in the lake usually is what they had said. They find cars, but usually it's close to shoreline.
How far out was it?
They said it was about 50 feet from the shoreline.
He's probably moving along pretty good when he hit the water.
It reminds me of Christmas Vacation. Hey, Dad, how far do you think we flew? 30 feet? No, Russ, we went well over 100. And then to fix it, how much is it going to cost? How much you got?
Right.
But, kind of one of those things really proves that electronics is amazing. They use it for body recoveries and as well. So a lot of things that really benefits as well as finding fish. So a recent note out of Minnesota, a letter from the Outdoors Coalition is demanding a moratorium on deer and elk farms in Minnesota. This came out of the Outdoor News thanks to Rob Driesline. A report on a group of state and national outdoor organizations this week unveiled the position statement on farmed operations in Minnesota for deer and elk. They basically said the Minnesota Conservation Federation, lead organization in this particular legislation/ruling, said that they're looking at having that implementation. Signatures from that also came from the MDHA, Minnesota Deer Hunters Association, Bluffland Whitetails, Minnesota Outdoor Heritage Alliance, National Deer Association, and National Wildlife Federation. I mean, a ton of people. And the demands of the coalition is calling for an immediate moratorium on new captive deer and elk operations in Minnesota. And it's because of all the chronic wasting, CWD, chronic wasting disease, that's coming into play at this particular time. So, entertainment, no, this is not a good thing. And I think that's about the only way they're going to be able to stop it at this point, is not have any more new of those deer operations and elk operations within Minnesota. So kind of a sad deal.
Is that similar situation in Wisconsin, do you know?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know. They haven't put it forth any regulations or recommendations to prevent that, but they're still there. So that's kind of it. All right, stay tuned. We are going to be talking about our little Ashkenam trip and Don's top five. It may be more like three, but five sounds better. So we'll stick with that. Stay tuned for more. Don doesn't know anything about this, so this ought to be entertaining. We'll be right back. Hey, folks. Well, glad to have you guys with us, of course, and through the years. Of course, we always like to have you check us out on Facebook as well as thevalleyoutdoors.com and all the cool stuff. We've got simplicity in listening now. You can listen to a podcast if we hit a button, and you can listen to that and look us up when we're on.
You can hear us anywhere now.
Anywhere. Just about anywhere.
Yeah. There's about no anywhere. Escape.
There is no escape. There is no escape for Don.
Uh-oh. He's been waiting weeks for this moment.
I have been waiting.
I have, or he has?
He has. Oh, we've talked about it for 2 weeks.
Oh, you were supposed to talk about that when I wasn't here.
Oh, no. We wouldn't.
You're looking for feedback. I can tell you're looking for feedback.
We didn't want to waste that.
Let's start out by, we had a fabulous trip.
It was.
With the folks that won the trip, There were four of them. There were, nine of us all together because we had four boats for each of the guests to take turns.
Yep, rotate.
Rotate through and fish with all of us. And my hat's off to Jeff and some good cooking.
He was magnificent. If you've ever been on a camp trip, one of the biggest issues is who's cooking.
Mm-hmm.
We never had to ask once, and it was planned that he was going to cook. I mean, maple nut, was it maple nut pancakes?
No, walnut.
Walnut. Maple walnut pancakes
with syrup and
thick bacon gravy. We had broiled northern pike. Food was beyond compare. So,
well, we set the rules early. We simply said, I know everybody's going to want to help pitch, help out in the kitchen. And the rule was stay out of Jeff's kitchen.
Stay out of the kitchen. Everybody tried to volunteer, and he's like, nope, I'm good. Get
dishes?
Out of the way.
Yeah, help yourself if you want to do the dishes, but don't get in Jeff's way.
Don't get in the way. So it was amazing. I think I put on, no joke, 7 pounds that week.
Mm-hmm.
There was no shortage of food.
No, we ate good.
There wasn't. So that was super fun. The fishing was challenging. And the fun part for me was a lot of memories for me. I grew up on Cab and was a dock boy at that lake, went up there for 20 years with mom and dad. We went through spots. I showed guys where we found a boy was casting and found a guy that had drowned in the lake. And so I showed everybody the spot where that's where it was, they're like, that spot, kind of cool stuff. Dodged rain showers and big thunderstorms and that throughout the week as well.
Well, we were blessed with a nice breeze throughout the entire week and an occasional shower.
And sometimes the breeze is more than a breeze, Don.
Well, most of the time it was more than a breeze.
Yeah, it was 15 to 25, gusting to 35 sometimes.
Yeah.
It really goes to show what I went into it myself and went into it like a tournament. You're trying to figure out a bite. You're trying to calculate what's going to really be a difference. You try to cover as many spots as you can. And the nice part is that lake, now that the technology, et cetera, the lake actually fishes pretty small. There's a lot of spots, but when you kind of get a handle on where things are at, you can boom, 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 him hit these spots. And that was kind of nice. I know we had three of the four guys had personal best, if not all, I think, had personal best.
I'm guessing all of them.
And that was really, enjoyed that thoroughly. Yep. And there's techniques that we had to use that I'll bring up in a minute, but when it comes down to going to an area like that, the nice part was about Ashkenam was it's in a protected river. It's in Ash River. So you don't have to worry about your boats being beat up. You don't have to worry about not getting out. You can fish relatively close. There's a number of islands. Even if it blows east-west, you're going to be able to get out and go fishing. So great place, great accommodations. The guys were amazing. The folks up there at Ashkenam, great restaurant, bar, that you were able to sit at outside.
Facilities are great.
Yeah, just those guys were fantastic and really kind of a fun place. The cabins they have.
It was great.
Awesome. Yeah, they were. One of the things you may or may not like, at a cabin, you don't have internet. You can get it at the lodge,
right?
But you don't have it at the
cabin.
At the cabin. So it was frustrating at first, but once you get used to it, it's kind of nice. Yep. I'll be honest with you. So that was good. Your comments.
Well, we had four boats that were going out every day, and a couple of boats seemed to go towards the Cabotogama area, and a couple of us would head towards Namakan. I spent most of my time in Namakan. Did some a couple of days later in the week on that north shore.
Yep.
But the wind was not friendly one of those mornings anyway, so we headed a different direction. I was finding fish in a different place, but I think, between all of us talking about different ways of doing it, they seem to be on that mud line, where the hard bottom meets the soft bottom, and you helped out with some of the techniques that we were doing. The one message I got back from one of our guests, they said other than everything we just talked about, the food was great, the accommodations were great,
yep.
Everybody involved was just so hospitable. And the fact that he learned that he learned more than he ever thought about or thought he would. And well, we had one gentleman with us who was a very experienced fisherman, and he even picked up some tips from just about every person that he fished with, because most of the guys besides you and I, Jeff and Mark, are very experienced fishermen too, and we do do things somewhat different than they probably do, and different types of bottom bouncers and what have you. So they were intrigued by that. So I was on the first day, you know, I had said that we had found some fish stacked up in deep, deep water, in 55, 60 feet of water. So we did spend some time down in that end of Namekan trying to troll them up. I did get a 24 and a half, but that was the only one I pulled up out of there. But they're big fish. They're down there. It's just I'm not exactly sure what the process is to get them.
Yeah, it can be a difficult scenario when it comes to that, especially there was a lot of big fish that we marked in a lot of spots, and you literally would have to drive over them about two or three or four times right on top of their head to get them to go. And that's when it started, and that's when I started changing from slow death, which we caught the first couple day, first day and a half, and I immediately said, this is not working. We need to slow down the process. And you know, we started going to a very small hooked crawler harness with a small, small spinner, and that really, then we started getting it figured out. We were getting 30 some fish a day, and it was really starting to.
Well, that's actually what, you know, it was either the last day or the second to last day. I was fishing with Jason.
Yep.
From the Piers area, and we found a break line between two islands that was just like a big horseshoe, and we just were following the contour with our electronics, and we started catching fish. And of course, then you know what happened on that last day is the skies got a little darker than we'd like them to, and before we could get back, we were, of course, drenched. You know, I don't mind fishing in the rain, but when the flash bulb goes off,
That's not so good.
The flash bulb
is the electrical current that goes right from the sky to the ground,
right?
And you don't want to be in between.
No.
So the long-awaited moment that everybody's been hoping for, the Don's top five, but it's actually three, but five sounds better. Don's top five moments. Are you ready? Number three, we were out fishing, and the usual scenario when it's windy is you have the bow mount used to steer, and you use a gas-powered engine to propel you forward to combat the wind.
I know where he's going with this.
But Don, in his infinite wisdom, decided that he was going to have electric in the front pulling, and then he was going to turn the electric on the back pulling,
pushing
at the same time.
Yeah.
Now, the one thing I advised Don was they're both pulling off the same batteries at the same time. They're both electrical current. Usually the reason you put the gas-powered engine down and push is to assist the electric so you can go longer during the day. Unfortunately, in Don's case, his day ended relatively early because he fully drained and the Amped Outdoors lithium batteries performed excellent. But I told him, Don, you literally put 2.5 days of power juice through these units in a matter of, yes, that's right, about 3 hours.
Oh, no, I got more than that out of him.
Okay, 6 hours.
It was great while it worked, but then when they go dead, they go dead.
So the point I had was, Don, you have to incorporate the main engine. That's why it's there. You just put it in gear. Let the bomb out do the work, my friend.
I don't know that I could slow it down enough with my main engine, but in that wind, it might have been worth a try.
It absolutely works perfectly.
Okay.
Great.
All right. So I learned one thing.
Okay. Number two.
Can't imagine what this is.
Number two. We're on the dock. Don finally said, hey, you wouldn't mind tying up some of those rigs for me, would you?
Yes.
So the next thing you know, I'm tying rigs for everyone. But I tied a special one for Don. I tied a crawler harness rig with the front hook that slid all the way down to the bottom hook. If anybody knows, I tied a slip knot in it so it would slide all the way down just for Don.
Yeah.
Okay.
Unfortunately, I gave it to the other guy.
And he caught fish on it.
He did.
Yeah. See, that's how that works. So, yeah, I was tying up rigs in the boat before we went out.
And I was being courteous, and I provided it to my guests. And I go, why are they hooks together?
I gave you three. You kept Olsen. Two for yourself. Yeah. I see how that works. You Olsen. Gave him the faulty one.
Mm-hmm.
And number three, because three sounds good.
We got there.
I told you I was going to do five, but Three is what it is. Five sounds better. Number three, when you have a guest tell you, is that a new way of fishing and using electronics when the little fish show up on your screen? Yes, that's true. Don had the fish ID on his graph, which I promptly, that moment that I found out, jumped in Don's boat, turned the graph on, and immediately shut it off. I said, nope, that's just an inadvertent mistake. We call it quality overrun or professional overrun that he decided to leave it. So, yes, those are the top three moments in life. So if you guys know what I'm talking about in electronics, it's the little fish that suddenly, if you have a weed show up, you have a stack of little fish to go all the way up to the top of the surface. Or if you have a blob in the ground that's not fish.
You weren't paying attention, were you?
What's that?
You weren't paying attention. They were walleye.
Uh-huh. Yeah, right.
Yeah,
they're stacked vertically all the way to the top of the water column. Yep. Exactly right. So those are my top three things that I literally could not wait to give you grief about. And I could not help myself from getting into it because it was a fun trip. It was absolutely awesome. So, hey, tell you what, stay tuned. We will be back with more after this. Eric Olson here, professional walleye tour champion, avid outdoorsman, and host of the Valley Outdoors Radio Show. Aquatic invasive species, or AIS, threatens not only our rivers and lakes here, but everywhere we boat. They come in many forms, and they love to hitch a ride to the next body of water on your boat or trailer. Join me to stop the spread of AIS by cleaning all weeds and aquatic material from your trailer before leaving the launch ramp. Drain live wells and clean areas that don't drain completely. Plus, don't forget to pull the plug. Clean, drain, dry. Together, we can make a difference. So, Don, I didn't mean to rip on you.
No ripping intended.
Okay, so then if that was the case, then the one thing I forgot to bring up.
Oh, you did. Yeah. There's something I didn't bring up either. You're riding around in a Cadillac, you know, going about 900 miles an hour. Well, the rest of us got to fight the waves. You just kind of fly over the top of them.
And the 22-foot Vexus performed flawlessly. It was outstanding. It fished every condition. We fished in the middle of the heaviest stuff. It was awesome.
Yeah.
That's when, in fact, three of the biggest fish we had in camp, we had a 25 and a half, 24 and a half, and 22. Joe caught the 25 and a half and a 21 and a half, 22, which we throw back. Obviously, it's an overfish. They were right in the heat and the teeth of the wind using a kicker motor to push, gas engine, using the bow mount to steer.
Yeah.
Yeah,
poor Joe, I bet, was standing up in the front, was he,
or
in the back?
No. That was Raylo's. We were both standing in the back.
Oh.
I was standing back with Joe.
Okay.
He was like a cat. He had his toes were clawed into the carpet because it was a little bumpy.
Yeah.
So the other thing I had to make sure I mentioned was I did go into all your boats and give you all of my waypoints. I gave you every waypoint that I had. I was programmed them in, told you where I was going, where I caught my fish. So you had no excuses as to where and what I was doing. I just want to let you know, just in case you wanted to know, that's where those icons were. I know it's tough to see past those fish that you have bouncing around the screen.
You know what we didn't do? Is put our waypoints in his boat. That probably wasn't fair, was it?
No.
No.
It wasn't.
But I'm sorry. Next time we'll put our waypoints in your boat, too.
That's okay. I didn't need them, but that's okay.
Well, your waypoints are 900 miles away in a 35-mile-an-hour wind.
12 miles. 9 miles, actually. Not even.
Yeah.
Not even. So, moving right along. Just thought I'd bring up that little tidbit.
He doesn't seem to appreciate.
He doesn't.
You doing that
because the spots that we had were not that far away.
Oh my gosh!
Moving right along, a sad story I have to say within the outdoors community. I knew this person for many, many years. If you're familiar with Game Fair and shooting. Trap shooting and dog training, you're probably familiar with Lorelei Delaney. She has died this last week at the age of 83. A sad, sad story. My mom was a trap shooter. She loved doing it. And my dad knew them well, and they had been up there when they were in their heyday and had dogs trained through them. Lorelei had trained many breeds over the years, but had a soft spot for serious, hard-charging Chesapeake Bay Retrievers, which is what my dad had and got from their kennel. And out of Ramsey, Minnesota, the outdoor sporting world this week is mourning the loss of legendary shooter, businesswoman Lorelei Delaney, who died Sunday, September 19th at the age of 83 after a two-year battle with cancer. They lived in Ramsey, Minnesota, the Armstrong Ranch Kennels. She spent her entire life working in the outdoor business, first a dog trainer through her father's Armstrong Ranch Kennels, then one of the most accomplished women professional shooters, and then as a show promoter and with her husband for 62 years, Chuck. Their annual game fair event and facility is where she grew up and marked 40th year in August of 2021. It's just a sad thing to see that they weren't able to have it last year, which was an unfortunate deal, but... yeah, sad deal, Don. It really is.
What time of year is the game fair?
It's in summer.
In the summer.
Yeah, in that time frame. Yeah, just a difficult thing, and really when you come down to it, to honor her accomplishments in 2020, Tim Walz proclaimed December 18th, Lorelei Delaney Day in the state of Minnesota, and... sad thing, and we heart goes out to Chuck, family, and friends for a lady that was probably brought more out to the outdoor business than just about anybody I know. Just an amazing individual, positive outlook, and a happy person all the way around. So, again, condolences to the family and Chuck, and reach out to them and through Facebook and give them your best as well. And speaking of our best, that was our best. I hope you guys enjoyed the show, and we'll be doing a lot more fun stuff like that. And I am Eric for Don, Ava. We are the Valley Outdoors, and we are out.